Then take your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We will continue our Bible study on the book of Daniel. And I'm excited about it. This is probably the only part of the book of Daniel you know about Daniel in the lion's den. And I think I'll be able to help you a little bit, understand it. Maybe teach you a few things that you've not heard. But it's very practical for our lives today. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to read the first 8 verses together, but keep your Bibles open. We're going to be in the whole chapter tonight. And I think I'll be able to just bring some things down to a practical level for us here. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princesses, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of," notice this, "his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, "King Darius, live forever," or Darius, however you want to say it. "All presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Now, look at me, keep your Bibles open, and let me help you tonight. Chapter 6 takes place in the year of 538. 538. If you remember, they went into captivity at 586. That means 48 years have passed. That means Daniel is somewhere in his late 60s to maybe 70 years old at this point in time. Daniel was not a young man here. Daniel was approaching the gray years, the senior years. He was an older man, probably late 60s, maybe as old as 70. And Daniel is been in captivity now and helping lead for 48 years. Now, Darius is king of the Media-Persian Empire. Remember I said 2 weeks ago that the Babylonians had 2 kings, Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar, his dad. Then the Medes and Persians conquered the Babylonian Empire and took it over. And Darius, or Darius, however you want to say it, I interchange it, so if I say one or the other, it doesn't matter. You can't pronounce it any different anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, but the Media-Persian Empire, Darius is the first king of the Media-Persian Empire after the Babylonians have been overtaken. Now, he divided the kingdom into 120 provinces. In other words, let's use modern vernacular. He divided the kingdom into 120 states, and he had a governor, or what he called a prince, over each of those states. Then he had 3 presidents. I don't know if he had it divided by 40s, but let's say he divided it equally, and one president oversaw 40, another president oversaw 40, and another president oversaw 40. And those 3 were the ones that answered to the king. They were that buffer between the governors and the king himself. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. Daniel was one of those top 3 people. Matter of fact, it says, verse number 3, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes." because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel had such a good spirit about him, and God had given him so much wisdom that the king looked at Daniel first of the three and the 120. And he basically said, you run it all and run everything through Daniel, and then he'll run it to me. He was kind of the top dog other than the king. The Median Persian Empire was not like Babylon. Babylon was run by the emotion and the extremity of the king. You remember Nebuchadnezzar? You're going to either do this, or I'm going to hack you in pieces and kill your family and turn your house into a dunghill. Then when it went the other way, the people that he wanted to go this way, he said, now I'm going to hack you into pieces and your family in pieces and turn your house into a dunghill. I mean, it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. The Media-Persian Empire was much different. They were used to very strict law. It was enforced no matter who you were. Once a law was enacted, it couldn't be revoked, could not be reversed. They could only pass another law that overpowered it, but the law itself could not be reversed. There was also strict punishment for those who broke the law. Whatever the law was written as, that's what the punishment was. The Media-Persian Empire, don't get mad at me for saying this, and it's just history, but basically the Media-Persian Empire is essentially the Muslim world today. We would know the Media-Persians as the Kurds from Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Turkey, the Kurdish people. Those are your Medes or Persians. We would know Sharia law or Muslim law in the Muslim nations. If you steal something, they cut your hand off. If you steal it again, they cut your head off. It's that simple. It's very harsh. It's very quick. And they don't care who you are. Now, there are lax in other areas. I get that. But they're very harsh with their laws, and their laws are meant to be that way. You have to understand something. Daniel was now one of the top three leaders in that type of government. He was leading God's people through a government that was basically a Muslim-type government. Now, it's not exactly like today's Muslims. I get that. But that's where it came from. Daniel's co-workers, the other two presidents, and the 120 princes, they didn't like this Daniel. He was different because he was a Jew. He wasn't one of them. Now listen to this very carefully. The Jews would have been the Christians of today. Now, they don't get called Christians. They are God's chosen people. I get that. But for historical sake, it would be just much like how people dislike Christianity today. Daniel was living right, and Daniel was doing things right, and they were trying to find fault in him because they were jealous of the influence and power that Daniel had. Sound familiar? They then try to use Daniel's faith as a way to take him down. Now listen to me very carefully here. They get the king to sign a law that says for the next 30 days, no one in the kingdom is allowed to go to any other god or any other person for advice but the king. If they do, then they're to be thrown into a den of lions. Well, this was sold to the king. They made it to be to lift him up and his leadership up. They were trying to modern day vernacular, suck up. They were trying to say, look, you are so wonderful. Why would anybody else want to talk to any God but you? They were building that God mentality in the king himself. If they disobeyed the law, they were to be thrown into a den of lions to be eaten by lions. Now, I don't know about you. There's a lot of ways that you could die, but I don't think one that I would enjoy much would be going into a den of lions, Brother Mike. You know, just at least give me a gun with some bullets in it. Give me a fighting chance or something. You know, just the thought of getting dropped into a room full of lions and you become lunch is not a way I prefer to go. We know the rest of the story. Daniel chose to keep praying. He opened his windows. He publicly did what he always had done. And they were lying in wait, waiting for him to do so. They took him to the king and said he's broken the law. And he was thrown into the lion's den. Now we know the next morning, the king came early in the morning and said, oh, Daniel, has your God delivered you? And he said, oh, king, live forever. Don't worry, I'm fine. And he called for his men to open that den and pull the rock out. And they reached down with a rope and pulled Daniel out of that lion's den. And God delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Let me remind you something. He's almost 70 years old. I mean, he wasn't quite as old as Miss Osi, but he was catching up. Amen. Almost as old as Brother Harry. It would be comparable to someone like Brother Harry. Ouch, that hurt, didn't it, Brother Harry? Now, wait a minute. Let me give you three thoughts here tonight, and I think I can help you. First of all, Daniel had 48 years of godly character and leadership built around his reputation. Daniel spent 48 years of his life building his reputation. Your character is what you are. Your reputation is what people think you are. Your reputation can be tarnished by people who don't even know you. Your character cannot be. Reputation, important? Yes. Not as important as the character that goes with it. Because good character eventually wins out on attacks on your reputation. May I say something here very, very carefully and very pastorally, especially to those of you that are new to Christianity. As you grow in the Lord, people are going to attack you. You're involved in some cult. Oh, my soul has been told that my whole life. You're really too far to the right. Can you ever get too far to the right? I mean, let's face it. You know, getting left of right means you're left. Plain and simple. I was joking with a preacher I was talking to this last week. He said, Brother Bush, he said, thank you for all these years not changing. I said, well, number one, I'm too old to change. Number two, I would make a horrible liberal. I said, I'm too mean, too rough, too straight to be a liberal. He said, that is a very funny thought. He said, you're right. You would make a horrible liberal. Yeah, you're right. But I want you to notice what Daniel's reputation was. Look at verse number 3 again. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the realm. Then the presidents, the princes, and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. They couldn't even find a parking ticket for his camel. They were looking for things. Sounds like politicians and people of today looking for fault in somebody. It's horrible what they do to public people. They wine and dine you to bring you in, and then they expect you to reciprocate it say, look, I've gave you my influence. Now I want you to come my direction. Uh-uh, I didn't come here for you. I came here to do what's right. And too many people don't have enough character to stand on that right versus the reputation. Now, Daniel made a stand in chapter 1 when they first went into captivity. Do you remember? Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. Daniel purposed in his heart to not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the drink, the wine which he drank. And he made that stand, and he and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went to Melzar, the captain, and said, look, we're not going to eat that. This is what we want. Try it. Then let the king look at us, and then let him decide if we can continue, because we're not changing that much. This is temporary for us. It's not permanent. Now, I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that may be the whole key to this Bible study. I really believe that if you'll look at that statement, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now look at me. There was a law passed against Daniel for being able to worship and serve God the way he was supposed to according to Scripture. And when Daniel knew that the king had signed that decree, that law, have you ever heard the term the law of the Medes and Persians? It comes from this. It is a law that could not be changed once it was signed and sealed with the king's signet. It could not be changed. But notice what it says. Now when Daniel knew that the law had been signed, he didn't go and hide. He didn't have church by way of computer. He didn't go virtual with church. He said, no, I'm going to church. I'm going to do what I've always done. Man ought to obey God rather than man. That's why 2 years ago when they started shutting churches down, I said, we're staying open. You didn't know every week I was walking around hoping the police didn't show up and haul me to jail. But guess what? We were having church. You say, did you have those thoughts? Mm-hmm. My wife and I had that conversation more than once. Say, why? Because I believed in our right, and I believed it was right, and I still believe it's right. I told you I would not put you in jeopardy. And when things hit our church, those of you remember, we stood in the doorway there, Brother Josh, a couple times because I had COVID, and y'all parked out here, listened by speakers or by the radio, and we had church for 2 weeks that way. But we still had church at church. You say, why? Because I believe in doing it. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I wasn't going to bend, bow, or burn to the idol of the king. We're going to do what God commanded us to do. Doesn't matter whether it was a law or not. Governors can't make law. It's an impossibility. Well, it was a mandate by the governor. If you look it up, it has no authority. It cannot be enforced. A gubernatorial mandate means this. It's a very strong suggestion. It is not law. Everybody doing all right? And I made sure I was right. But I want you to notice something here. Daniel didn't hide in his faith. Aaron owes me another pizza. His face turns red too fast. Let me tell you, that wasn't from mowing grass, let me tell you. Man, I haven't been home 3 days and I get a pizza, amen? Now, wait a minute. Daniel didn't try to hide his faith. By the way, Daniel did not flaunt his faith. Daniel didn't go out and taunt everybody and say, look, I know what law's been signed, but let's go show you. He didn't call the news media and say, watch me defy the king. Be careful as a Christian, you don't hide, but at the same time, be careful you don't act arrogantly just to get attention. We have some quote-unquote Christians who do things just to get attention. And that's just as wrong as running and hiding. Notice what it says. Look at the last statement. Before his God, as he did aforetime. In other words, he continued doing what he had always done. He didn't make a big deal of it. He went into his house. He opened his windows. He prayed to God of heaven. That's all he did. But notice verse number 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They set him up. Now, let me make some statements here. As the world moves farther away from God, living right will bother them more and more. As the world moves farther away from God, those who try to live for God will bother those who have moved away from God more and more. Have you noticed we're now the weird ones? Look at verse number 12. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Now watch this. They said, look, king, didn't you sign a law? Didn't you say that if this took place that there was punishment? He said, it's law, yes. Huh. The world is going to try to set up everything it can to go against Christianity. If I had you raise your hands, most in here would get the wrong answer. It is not illegal to take a Bible to a public school. But a lot of people think it is. It is not illegal to take a Bible to a courtroom or any government building. Oh, we've got to have separation of church and state. There's a difference in church and state, God and state. God is not the church. Separation of church and state simply means this. The government doesn't tell the church how to run its business, and the church doesn't tell the government how to run its business. Yeah, we're working towards it. We're just trying to get people saved and get them in the right positions. Amen. That's why voting is important. May 10th primaries are coming up. I happen to know a certain county commissioner running for office from our church. I'm not allowed to mention her name, but she's second row from back there. Got a husband with a red face right now. Wait a minute. Why is that important? Because, and by the way, it's not an easy run. I told her a year ago it's going to be tough. I told her she's going to think some people are her friends and find out they got knives stuck in her back and she's had them. It happens. I gave her names. She's, preacher, you were right. I was right. Evil people will try to make godliness appear to be bad and evil. Oh, you're against the alphabet soup crowd? Then you're a hater. You're not a Christian because God loves everybody. Yeah, God loves everybody, but he doesn't approve of what everybody does. Well, you're an intolerant person. Yes, I am. I'm intolerant of sin. if we disagree with them, then we're the ones that are intolerant. Since when did disagreeing with somebody mean you're intolerant? Isn't it amazing that we're supposed to fall in line behind the current idiot in office? And no matter which office you're talking about, so. But look what they did to President Trump. And that's okay? Now, wait a minute. I wrote this statement down. I'm going to read it because I liked how I wrote it. They have the right to be stupid and immoral, but they don't have the right to teach children that their faith is wrong at school. They don't have the right to teach them that their filth is right. Since when did gender neutrality have anything to do with reading, writing, and arithmetic? Has nothing to do with it. I always hated the term social studies. What happened to history? Daniel did not let fear of the lion's den stop him from obeying God. I don't have time to turn here, but Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, Matthew chapter 22, verses 17 through 21, we are never to let the government tell us how to obey God, no matter the punishment. Render therefore to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. Listen to me, Grace Baptist Church. The day may come where you might have to come have Brother Juan let you in to hear me preach from a jail cell. Because I'll stand for right. But guess what? I'll stand for right. Doesn't matter. We're going to stand for right. We're not going to do it arrogantly. We're not going to call the news media and have them show up and say, We're just going to keep doing what we've always done, obeying God, let God take care of the rest. Now, number two, Daniel goes to the lion's den, verses 16 through 22. Let me read very quickly, and then I'm going to just touch on this for a moment. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. In other words, they closed the door and they put a seal on it with wax, and he put his own signet in there to ensure that it stayed that way. If that wax had been broken, they knew somebody had gone in and violated the decree. Verse 18. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. In other words, he didn't sleep all night. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent an angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. They have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. Now, Daniel goes to the den of lions, but I want you to notice something. The king was upset. Go back to verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He tried everything he could to keep from throwing Daniel into the lion's den. He lamented it. He knew he had been set up. Verses 18 through 20, we see that he didn't sleep all night long. He found no comfort. He got up very, very, very early in the morning, ran out there, had him open the den of lions. Now, let me stop and say something, and I want to help people tonight. Let me remind you, Daniel is in his late 60s, maybe 70. He wasn't a young man. Let me make some statements to those of us that have gray hair or no hair. The older we get, the harder to take a stand it becomes. We get tired the older we get, and we don't like fighting. We want to be liked, and we hate controversy more. I remember Brother Hiles and I, we were together about 4 months before he had his heart attack and died. He said, "Craig, I always wanted to go out of this world being known for loving people. But with all these battles I've got going, I'm going to go out a fighter." He said, "I always wanted to be loved when I went out, not having my enemies cheer that I went out." That always bothered me a little. I always knew how much he loved. I promised him that day that I would let people know how much he loved. But may I say something? Men, and by the way, he was 74 years old. Men that hit, people that hit their late 60s, early 70s, they're tired of fighting. They fought their whole life. They don't want to fight anymore. It's harder to take stands. It's easier to let things go. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. And if this affects you personally, I am not shooting at you. It is an observation of our society. This is why grandparents should not raise grandchildren. Snowflakes are the kids reared by grandparents because grandparents are too tired to fight the kids. Say, "Well, that's not me, preacher. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking in general." And you go back and do your research, you'll find out I'm right. Some of you with gray hair, that's why you let your grandkids do things you never let your kids do. Ain't going down that road. I ain't looking at nobody, including my wife. By the way, this is why many older preachers often change direction in their ministry the older they get. They don't want to fight anymore. Well, I plan to fight as long as I have breath in my body. Not changing the Bible, not changing my stand, not changing my doctrine, not changing anything. Change my clothes and that's it. Yes. Please don't take this the wrong way. I really don't worry about what others think. I just want to please God.
That's good.
I'm not real worried about what the local ministerial assassination thinks. I'm sorry, association. I really don't care. I don't take the temperature of all the preachers in town to find out what they think of me. I'm too busy worrying about doing what I'm supposed to do here. I don't have time to hobnob with them. Now, I want you to know something here. God shut the mouths of the lions. I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on here. I don't think Daniel rested well that night, do you? Would you like to go to sleep in a room full of lions? Number one, I don't like cats to begin with, but when they're big enough to eat me, I really don't like them. To me, the Greek word for cat is the word target, but that's up to you. Amen, Brother Steve? Now, if you have one or two or three or ten, I don't care. Just take care of it at your house, that's fine, and I'm not going to be unkind to it, but I don't like cats. And when they're big enough to eat me, I really don't like them. But Daniel knew God shut the mouths of the lions. And he gave God the credit. Look at verse 22. "My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." He said, look, only God could have done this, king. King Darius has Daniel taken out of the den as quickly as possible. Now, listen to this statement. This will help you. You older people, this will help you too. God does not take opposition away usually. He often will show himself real because of the opposition. Too many people ask God to take the opposition away rather than asking God to give them deliverance through the opposition. People get upset with God because they face opposition. How about we go through the opposition and show how wonderful God is? I try not to ask God to take opposition away. I do say, God, give me strength to make it through. Number three, I've got to hurry, I've got 6 minutes. What happened to the evil accusers? Look at verse number 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. The Bible does not say how many. There were 120 princes and two other presidents, and they were all conspiring against Daniel. How many of them? We don't know. But I do know this. The king brought them, brought their wives, brought their children in, and dropped them in one at a time, letting the lions tear them to shreds, breaking their bones the moment they hit the ground. Can you imagine how bad that must have been? And knowing these people in history and studying history, they always threw the children first, then the wives, and then the husbands. They made the husbands see what their error had done to their family. Imagine them, Brother Aaron, watching them throw your children in, and then your wife, and then you got to follow. You heard the screams and the horror of your family. The king wasn't real happy with these people. The men who accused Daniel and their wives and their children were all cast into the den of lions, and the Bible says that the lions had mastery of them. There wasn't one of them that lived much longer than hitting the bottom of the ground. Boop. I can't imagine. By the way, the king also established a new law. Look at verse number 25. Then the king wrote unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before God, the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom, which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall even be unto the end. Hoo-hoo! He just wrote a law that superseded the law previous. He didn't nullify the other one. He just added another one that said, look, though you shouldn't do that, this is my advice and this is the law. Now watch this. Daniel, once again, was able to show how great God was and give him the credit. Look at verse number 27. He delivereth and rescueth. He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Notice how the king was talking about how great God was. Where did he learn that? Daniel. By what Daniel went through. By the way, Daniel continued to prosper even under an ungodly king again. Look at verse 27 or 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. It's amazing that living right pays off even when it looks like it's not going to. Don't let a bad situation determine God's will or not. Everybody listen to this very carefully. I counsel a lot of people around the country. Well, I'm going to do this as long as I have peace. That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my whole life. Did you know the devil can give you peace? Peace is a result of battle. You want tranquility. You don't want to trouble the waters. I found out, Brother Harry, if I'm going to do God's will, I got to fight the devil and all of hell. It's going to be war. Folks, as we get the gospel out like we're doing this week in mass quantities, old smutty face is around the corner. Somebody's going to tattle on you and go tell the people in the store you're out there passing out tracts. Well, it's no great thing. There's other stores. Don't worry about it. Don't look at it as, well, I can't do this anymore. There's plenty of people out there. Man, I've been kicked out of better places by better people, trust me. They don't make the person that scares me that way. There may be a price to pay for standing for right. But may I say this? The price for standing for right is worth paying when you see what God can do. But may I say this? God doesn't have a chance to do anything if we don't stand. Had Daniel not stood, God's greatness could not be seen. Are you willing to take that stand? If not, what is God not going to be able to do because you did not? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe we ought to take inventory. Daniel wasn't some young buck just out of Bible college, rip roaring, snorting, ready to fight. He was a tired, older gentleman. But yet he continued to stand firm and stand strong. In the face of opposition, he stood.